Okay, I'll go ahead and go through the instructions one more time for anyone who's just joined us. You can point your browser directly to mecgroups.com/mec_research_log, and you'll be taking some notes for today's conference. You should have also received that URL in an email earlier today. We'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference today. And at this point, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our key speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, Brian. Thank you very much. We're going to get started. I should point out that informing you about the future, the eBay Auction Site Conference and how to use eBay, and we're going to be working with several of our groups that are generating several $1 million a year on eBay, and we'll tell you how they're doing that. They have retail stores and eBay operations. Also, June 2nd coming up is optimizing your site for the traditional search engines, and then we're doing something on pay-per-click campaigns for subscription sites in June as well, and then we're doing another one on optimizing the key landing pages based on a bunch of new research that we have done. Along with that, some more topics, including Amazon stores, which we're testing right now, and the new changes that they've made there. So you may want to watch for that. But we're going to get started with our notes for today. The topic is Google AdWords, how our sustained testing of the Google AdWords platform has yielded effective new insights. You should have some notes. They'll be refreshed from time to time with charts that we'll be looking at. Also, be prepared in your browser to go to some of the links that are numbered. Brian will give us the numbered links so that we can visit those key sites and kind of study the examples that will help make sense of the things we're going to be talking about. There have been a number of enhancements to the Google AdWords pay-per-click program since we last reported on it. We've been generating reports on this since Google first introduced it back before it was AdWords Select. We did a major report on AdWords and a report on AdWords Select, and then some updates. The report on AdWords Select also included, and it still is, I would say, 98% valid. And in that regard, I would think that you can and should get that report to go along with this, because we're going to be giving you a brief with new insights not in that report, but it has a detailed blueprint that comes with it that you can download that will take you step by step through every aspect of setting up an effective Google campaign. I've not seen anything like it, and it might be helpful for you. But since we've written that report, Google has made some enhancements and changes that we thought bore more research, and so we've been conducting that research, and we want to share with you some of the things that we've learned. The first thing I want to look at is just a quick review of how AdWords work. We won't spend too much time on this, but I think it's important for those of us that might be a bit newer to its methodology, and so we should look at that first. Google AdWords is, of course, neck and neck with its competitor, Overture, and it's the leading source of pay-per-click search traffic right now. In our previous experiment, we have identified AdWords as one of the most effective means of driving qualified traffic to your website. But AdWords uses a tool called the AdWords Discounter, which allows a busy marketer to simply select a maximum CPC rate or cost per click rate for an entire group of keywords. And the discounter will automatically charge you the lowest cost per click rate needed to maintain your highest possible position. In this previous report on Google AdWords, we illustrated how that works, and Brian will show you a chart. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because most of us, I think, are familiar with it, but you can see the chart. And if you hit refresh now, it should appear in your notes. What you need to understand is the difference between the maximum cost per click bid and the actual cost per click allowed this group to save 19% while maintaining the highest possible positions for individual keywords. The AdWords discounter, which is also called the bid gap manager, monitors the bid of all the competitors for each keyword. And when determining your ad position, it sets your bid for each keyword at least one penny higher than your competition, or up to your maximum bid for that group. AdWords differs from other pay-per-click engines, notably Overture, in that it considers both your bid and your ad's popularity, or click-through rate, when determining your ad's placement. Now, I'm going to digress from my notes and just point out something for you. In those cases where Google is able to outperform Overture, often it is because with with Google, you have the opportunity to beat your competition not just with your pocketbook, but with a better written ad. And that's one of the keys to truly leveraging the power of Google, and that's one of the keys to being making it a productive investment. Now, Google did that with, I think it was a very wise move on their part, because what it did is it forced advertisers to work hard on the relevancy of their offering and on the effectiveness of their offering. And it was a very, very sharp way to control the behavior of its advertising populace. But for you and I, it's a significant advantage because you can write a better ad than your competitor most of the time. And we're going to show you some new things about how to do that with examples before this report is over. The key is this: the better your ad's click-through rate, the higher its position. And if you have an ad that performs very well, you can pay less than a competitor for the same position. That's the real key. Now, let me go a step further and say that as we reviewed many, many keywords, we represent over $1 million a month in advertising on Google in just keyword purchases to our research partners and work that we're involved with. And I can tell you that more often than not, there are satisfactory ads. I would say many of them are satisfactory, but very few superb ads written in Google by most of the campaigns that we look at. And that makes all the difference in the economics of your investment. I want to go on to the second section of our notes. I also want to remind you that I have some experts on the telephone with me from our team, some of the most knowledgeable people, I think, in the country on how to do this effectively. So it's okay to interrupt me with questions. If you have them, please do, and I will do my best to try and get you an answer. And if it looks like it's going to take too much time or we're getting off track, I'll just bring us on track and answer your questions later on. But some of you may want to interject a question or two as we're moving along, and feel free to do that. So I'm moving to the second point, and that is new enhancements in Google. And so first, AdWords has recently added the ability to track conversions of individual
John's
campaigns.
John's on the phone, Trace.
Pardon me? Hello?
AdWords has
recently added the ability to track conversions of individual campaigns and ad groups. The obvious question is, does AdWords conversion tracking actually work? We've been testing it to see how accurate it is, and the short answer is yes. But the AdWords conversion tracking is not as complete as many third-party solutions, and this is critical because most of the people that we talk with who have AdWords campaigns are not accurately tracking either Overture or their Google campaign. And when we try and figure out, you know, if their marketing spend is smart, the best they can offer us is a guess. And what they have said is that when they turned it down, traffic dropped off, and so they were afraid. And I think many people continue to spend money with Google and Overture out of fear of loss, as opposed to smart economic decisions based on tight projections. And part of the problem with that is it's very hard, it seems, to implement a third-party tracking solution that will work well and consistently. Well, Google offered its own, and we've evaluated that. So, you know, if you're not using it, Google can give you a solution to figure out whether or not a keyword that you're utilizing is producing an ROI for you, and basically it can help you to track sales attached to those keywords. When we first began testing the conversion tracking on AdWords, we noticed a number of discrepancies in the accuracy of the statistics. More recently, the statistics appear much more accurate. Number two, implementing AdWords conversion tracking may be difficult for those with little web development experience. This is, you know, the internal solution by Google. And thirdly, and this is very important, visitors are only tracked for 30 days from the initial click-through. So this may understate your true return on investment by not tracking conversions that occur more than 30 days after the initial visit. Many people, when tracking on their own site or using their own software, are only tracking the immediate return on that first click-through. And so they assume that a campaign is not tracking well, or that it's not performing well, or that, you know, that the numbers are at a specific level, which is probably quite understated. The reality is, depending on the nature of your offering, people need to click around a few times in your site prior to making the purchase decision. You have to be very careful that you're tracking that, or you'll underestimate the power of your campaign. Google tries to address this by allowing you to track for 30 days from initial click-throughs. That's how long, you know, they're tracking an activity. And I think you understand what I've said, but just to be sure that that's clear, if someone clicks on a link in Google AdWords and visits your site and doesn't buy, Google's tool will track them. If they come back 2 weeks later and purchase, it will still be able to identify that sale, theoretically, and let you know that that original customer first came through Google AdWords. So having said that, I would say this. Second, AdWords has added automatic, this is another tool they've added, they have added automatic optimization. If you have multiple ad versions in a single group, you can allow Google to automatically emphasize those ads which have a higher click-through rate. Now, this is something new since our last report also. And speaking of the fact that we're putting this in, a lot of people clicking through on our sites, I think, are finding that we have archived our old reports along with our new reports so that you can compare them. Some people are finding the old reports and under the impression that we're not doing the new research, but we turn out 36 new research reports a year for all of our members, and we actually turn out 48 issues, including the summary report, and 38 research reports a year. So if you're on our site, we're going to clarify our navigation to help you know which reports are newer and which reports are older. These changes that I've just outlined are since our last report, and that is the second thing, the automatic ad optimization. And while this sounds great in principle, it can actually work against you. And this is very critical. If your lower click-through rates ad have a significantly higher conversion rate, because a higher CTR or click-through rate does not necessarily guarantee a higher conversion, click to sale. In fact, typically in marketing, you're going to find the more traffic you're able to drive to your site, the lower your conversion rate will be. And that's just typically the principle that occurs. And so it can often be that when you use Google's automatic optimization tool, you end up certainly emphasizing those ads that are getting the most click-through rates, which is good for Google, but not necessarily those ads which are getting the most sales, you. So the key point here is to use your extreme caution when experimenting with automatic ad optimization. Conversion is the ultimate factor that will determine your return on investment, not click-through rates. So third, and perhaps most significantly, Google has recently incorporated content-based advertising, something called AdSense, into its AdWords system. Now, we went into detail in our last report how AdSense worked, and if you have, you can log into the lab and get that, and you'll find that, you know, a detailed explanation testing how it works if you utilize it on your site or if you utilize it as an advertiser. So I'll continue covering new material. So far we've talked about a brief kind of overview of AdWords. We've talked about new enhancements, and now I want to talk about some advanced bidding techniques that we have found to be successful through our research, and perhaps these will help you also. We have found that many advertisers round off their bids to the nearest nickel. Most of you know by now, I think, that this can present a problem. When you bid 0.1 or 0.25 or 0.40 and so on, you are doing exactly what many of your competitors are doing. Most search engines grant the higher positions to the individuals who have been advertising the longest. Consider these 10 advertisers for a single keyword. So if you will, refresh your notes and you'll see a new chart that we've prepared there for you. If you look at that chart, what you need to understand is that your ad would be in 10th place for an 11-cent bid, and 9th place for a 0.50 or 50 cent bid. However, for just 1 cent more, you could move all the way up to the 5th spot. And that's where making certain that you are not following the herd when it comes to Google is critical, and particularly in making sure that the bids that you select don't fit into the common clusters. And there's a psychology in that, and we would suggest that you consider that as you are setting up your bids. And note, however, that Google does not reward companies with better positions if they have I mean, that Google does reward companies with better positions if they have a higher click-through rate. So extensive changes to your bids may cause initial slowdowns if your click-through rate is changed or reset. So I'm not sure if that was clear to everyone. Does everyone understand what I just said? Does anyone have a question about what I just said?
I do not see how you came up with that. Could you please re-explain?
Oh, pardon me?
Could you please re-explain that? I don't see how you can get all the way up to sixth or fifth place.
Okay. Aaron Rosenthal?
Yes.
You have the chart in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and explain, please.
Okay. Basically, what this chart is representing is, say, for instance, you're bidding 50 cents. You're going to come in at the bottom of this chart in the ninth position. If you were to bid 51 cents, you would, and then be in the number five position of this position. Now, if everybody's bidding 50 cents, Google will not just in cases such as Overture or other pay per clicks, they will grant placement based purely on first in, first out. For Google will emphasize those companies with high click-through rates. So if you could even be paying, in some cases, less per click than your next competitor and have better placement or have as good as placement because your click-through ratio is higher than your competitors. And if you think about it, it makes sense because Google is ultimately trying to maximize the amount of money that they take home. So if you have higher click-through ratio and you're paying what somebody else is paying or even less than somebody else, you can actually make Google more money if you are clicked on more times than your competitor because Google is paying on click-through rates. So that's how they're rewarding high click-through rates arbitrarily with your position.
Yes, and if you look at the chart here, if you just came in with a 50-cent bid, that would put you in. There's a number of people who have bid 50 cents. There's fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth position. So a 50-cent bid might get you in ninth position, forgetting the click-through rate. And what the chart here, drawn from our research, and just implanted here so that you can see it, is the notation that a simple bid of 51 cents would put you ahead of everybody in from the fifth position down. So you'd knock out the fifth person and achieve fifth position with a 51% bid, whereas a 50-cent bid would have put you likely all the way down to the ninth place.
But there's no way to know that, what people are bidding on Google. I mean, I'm not sure what relevance this chart has to making a bidding decision on Google.
This chart's supposed to represent to you the fact that most individuals actually bid in round lot bids. So if some individuals can just make it the habit to not bid in round lot bids, you can oftentimes leapfrog your closest competitors. And all this is showing is there's five people or four people bidding at 50 cents. If an individual were to come in with the mindset, I'm not going to bid 50 cents, I'm going to bid 51 cents, you would then leapfrog the other people just by coming in to any pay-per-click with the mindset of
you agree that you wouldn't know this information. I mean, you'd love to have this information about what people are bidding on Google, but you don't know it. So are you suggesting that every time you raise your bid, just go by a cent at a time, regardless of what the bid amount is, and until you get a response?
I would suggest this. What you want to avoid when you're trying to win in the pay-per-click game is falling. There are patterns of thinking and clusters of these patterns that typically cause certain people to overlap in their competitive efforts. I would suggest that instead of ever using a 60-cent minimum, I'd use 61 or 62, but I wouldn't go to a round number such as 50 or 25 because that is so common that often it will work against you. Not that
the
you even need to know your
bidding
competitors. It's just that pop it up an extra penny instead of don't always raise in increments of five.
Okay, so if you're bidding 30 and not getting your response, you're suggesting first going to 31 and then 32, et cetera, until you get a response?
Yes, I would say that, but I wouldn't even bid at 30. I'd always come in at 31 or 32. I'd start.
This isn't really a technique to learn where to place your bid. It's just a side note that most people in all pay-per-clicks, Google aside, bid in round lots. It's a mindset that individuals go into bidding with their pay-per-clicks for. They say, all I can afford to pay is 25 cents a click. All I can afford to pay is 10 cents a click or 50 cents a click. And you could see this in deal time, in Overture, and find one in any of the engines that allow you to compare and allow you to view what your competitors are paying. It's just a mindset that individuals come in, that competitors come in with into the bidding.
So I'm going to move on so that we can keep covering our grounds, but I would just suggest that you know, it's almost like the way you set your appointments. Almost always you're going to tell somebody you'll meet them at 4 o'clock or 3:30, but you're rarely going to say 3:34. Let's meet at 4:03. In the case of your pay-per-click campaign advertising, it's probably more productive to pick a specific number that doesn't fall into the normal patterns, as you will often achieve a little higher result for only a little bit less or a little bit more.
Okay.
So, and if you have more questions about that, please email us and we'll help you and do whatever we can. I want to move on to advanced keyword techniques and talk a little bit about this fact. Google allows you to exercise precise control over your keywords through use of the broad phrase / exact search and then negative keywords. You can choose to narrow down broad search traffic to phrase or exact searches by using these qualifiers. You can limit your ad impressions to the exact way the keyword phrase was intended. For example, a phrase match for cheap hotels in will only appear in a search for cheap hotels in and whatever city, let's say Florida. And you can use symbols within Google to make sure that the exact phrase match is what you is only the trigger for your AdWord ad appearing. However, using the same phrase as a broad search, it is impossible to end up in searches it's possible to end up in searches for all kinds of other related phraseology with those words that are much less relevant. And the key to ROI in an engine like Google is relevancy. It's not lots of click-throughs that make you money. It's lots of sales. And often, when you have too many click-throughs, your conversion rate will go down. And so you have to be careful. And one of the things to do is to use the exact phrase match. The main advantage to using broad searches is that they generally drive the most traffic. The advantage to specifying phrase or exact searches is that they send more qualified traffic. They may convert better. Broad searches are the default setting within AdWords. So to specify phrase or exact searches, phrase searches are placed in quotes. And exact searches are placed in brackets. Now, negative keywords are terms that you wish to disassociate from your keyword bids. This is useful, for example, if you want to drive traffic for the term mouse, but not for the term Mickey Mouse or mouse trap. In this case, Mickey and trap could be set as negative keywords. And if you were to do that, you would exclude them from being identified or from triggering your ad. Identifying a good set of commonly used negative keywords will increase the click-through rate for your ads. In addition, it can potentially save thousands in click charges by avoiding clicks from visitors who have no intention purchasing your products. We're going to look at some examples of poorly designed and good ads in just a moment. I think, so just stand by. We're going to actually go into Google here in just a second and look at this, and then we're going to go into some other key tools, more advanced things that will help you. Let me just point out that one of the things that we see over and over again is that the average advertiser is too busy or is not spending the time necessary to rule out those negative words that you don't want associated with your key search term. But that one of the things I've seen Aaron do ingeniously is go in and exclude a bunch of keywords and make a campaign far more profitable. he'll get it so tuned up that your click-throughs will be much higher, because people, if they clicked on, if the word mouse, and you're selling a computer mouse, came up with the search word term Mickey Mouse, then the people on that page are certainly not looking for a mouse, and so your click-through rate goes down. On the other hand, when you not only do you not, you know, does your click rate go up, which means you appear higher on the list, but you also, you know, cut down on the traffic that inadvertently, for whatever reason, clicks on your ad and has no intention whatsoever of purchasing. So conversion also improves. What let's do is we're going to go into Google right now, and you can either click on a link in your notes. What number is that link, Brian?
Which term, Flint?
The first one.
That's link number one.
And what is the search term? For those of you that don't have link number one, you could just go to Google and type in this search term. What is it, Brian?
Type in news service, two words.
News service. Okay, we'll start with news service. Let's go there. And not new as in singular, but news service. You should have three ads that appear up on your right-hand side. Now, I'd like somebody to tell me what they think is the strength of the first ad as opposed to the ad that is underneath it in second place. I'd like to comment on the difference between these ads in just a second, but could someone else give me any idea as to what you think may be why the first ad is in first position?
This is Komra.
Yes, Komra, go ahead.
I think that first the keywords are in the title.
Absolutely. That's one of
and,
the keys.
Yep.
Explain what you mean, Komra. Tell them precisely what you mean when you say
well,
that.
The keywords, the two words that were searched on are in the title of the ad.
That's
and
right.
Then Google makes those two words bold to help you pick it out as a
yes.
user.
Yes.
And that really draws you to that, because then you believe that that ad is about what you want.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that the text of the ad has quantitative information in it.
That's right. In our report on transparent marketing and writing ad copy, which if you have not received the transparent marketing report, which is not available on our site, it was written for a Primo and the editor at Simon & Schuster, and if you haven't seen that and you'd like to get it, it's how to write copy, and it's rather radical. Request a copy by emailing support@marketingexperiments.com, and we'll send you out a PDF of it. It'll go into this in more detail, but I would only point out for you that the second ad, first of all, uses an apostrophe, uses an exclamation point, which, you know, automatically, and it fits perfectly with the word crazy price, it lacks credibility. The exclamation point signals this is sales language. The word crazy price tells you that, you know, you're buying a used car, and yet it's associated with newsgroup servers. The word quality is contradicted by the word crazy, and worse, they're assuming that you know something, that you're going to turn whatever they said into a sentence, quality used net crazy price. That's not even a sentence. Now you're causing your reader to think, to have to work through and piece together whatever it is that sentence means. In addition to that, it doesn't have, as Komra said, the search term in the title. And then it uses a horrible word underneath it. It says, sign up today. Well, the only time it makes a complete sentence is in an imperative that tells you that you have to sign up, which is the last thing you want to do. Signing up is only something that you concede to do because there's something you want bad enough that you're willing to go through the pain and suffering of signing up on somebody's site. The only word it could have used right at that moment that would have been worse is the word register. And worse, it doesn't only not convey clearly any content or benefit, but it's trying to get you, it's almost implying that when you go there, you've got to immediately take action. None of which drives anyone to a site, and I'm surprised they're in second position, and I assume if you watch, they'll go down. Business, I'm sure it has to do with the price as well. Business News Service says get relevant news from more than 1,700 sources around the world. When Kramer said quantified, she's saying that it says 1,700 sources. That's a far more effective ad. And the fact that it says relevant news addresses the other thing. it's trying to say you're going to get the stuff you need. And so it's implying a direct benefit, and it's offering specific data to back up the benefit, which is why this is much better ad than the one beneath it. And so, you know, this is the art of getting these ads right is critical to the performance of your campaign. And I think we can look at another example of that here by going to the next link that you've got. Go ahead and give us that next link, if you would, Brian. Link number
okay.
two.
It's the second link in the notes, and the term is refinance.
So if you go to the term refinance,
excuse me, Flint, may I ask you a question while we're doing this?
Yes, you can.
Is
Please.
It one of the new changes on Google? I'm not seeing, I thought before they used to have a relevancy bar at the bottom. Is that a new change they're not doing anymore?
Aaron, would you comment on that?
They dropped that when they changed the look and the feel of the different the look and the feel of the ads. They're no longer green, they're white. They look just like they look in the AdSense ads. They dropped that as well.
For strategic reasons, they dropped it.
Yes.
They dropped the color scheme for and if we were advising them, we would have told them to do the same thing. What they did is put sponsored link, and then they put that in a soft gray. They de-emphasized it. They put just enough there to say sponsored link to make sure they were covered legally. But they de-emphasized the fact that this is advertising on the right-hand side so as to get as many clicks as possible over there, and they made it look as similar as possible to what you have over on the left. It's interesting, but the strategy that they started out with was a strategy that by emphasizing those ads, they would get more click-throughs because your eyes would be drawn to the ads on the right-hand side based on the understated color. It was understated, but it was relevant to what else was on the page. It was enough to capture your eyes. But what I have seen that they have done is they have determined that more people want to click on a listing than an ad. So let's draw this over here so it just looks like a listing as much as possible. But we'll put it in a key area on the page and get as many clicks as we can by interrupting the eye path with this. I think they took the relevancy bar down also because you're less likely to click on an ad that has a lower relevancy rating. And Google's entire financial picture right now, or a great part of it, is based on how many times a day somebody clicks on one of these ads. Good point. Now, I want to tell you what's happened since we last looked at this. When I looked at this before the conference started, the ad that's in number two was in number one's position. I think the ad that came up and now is in the first position, Refinance Now and Save, is a new ad, probably with a higher bid, because I think that it has some good elements, but I think the ad beneath it has some good elements as well, and I think that both ads could be defeated. The only thing I want to do is I want to ask you a question, and it might be the price. I want to see why you think the 3.95% refinance rate ad is all the way down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in fifth position when it looks like it's quantifiable data, a point that Kama spoke about in our last ad. Can anybody tell me why they think it's in fifth place?
Flynn, I'd just like to point out that I noticed as I was refreshing the page that the ads are actually changing on the spot. And I don't know if that's because there's more than 10 bids on this term or not. Maybe Aaron?
It's last on my page. It's the last ad on the search that I did.
Yeah, they're rotating.
Yeah, they're rotating and because there's so many.
I also wanted to point out that on my screen, underneath the green URL,
yes,
on a couple of them, it says Oklahoma. So they're doing some kind of geo.
Yes.
Geo thing. So I'm in Tulsa.
Google will jumble them like this, when there's too many ads for one topic and refinance is quite popular, they will, present more with each refresh, which is, I think, what we're doing. Refresh your screen till we're looking at the same one. The one that I'm looking at starts out with, wait just a second. I'm going to refresh back to my first one.
Anybody else have geotargeting on their ad?
Yeah, I've seen that. I'm in
Illinois. Two Oklahoma ads out of seven.
All right, the one I'm looking at right now, and consistently what keeps coming up at the top is refinance low rates. Consistently in the top three is the one that's headlined is just refinance, which has low rates from one easy form. Free calculator shows your savings today. The one that comes and always is down at the bottom trying to get in there is the 3.95% one. And looking at that, can anybody tell me why that one is not in the right place?
$800 a month.
But might not have
okay.
a $300,000 mortgage.
Okay, that's a very good point.
Does
any
it have
other
to
ideas?
Do with the capitalization of the URLs?
Pardon me?
Does it have anything to do with the capitalization of the URLs?
Well, that's a very good point. I think that while we're on that subject, I'll just say that use capitalization to make your URL easier to read. That's the rule in capitalization. In most cases, it shouldn't affect you other than to make it quicker to read. And I'll also say that the right URL will typically get more click-throughs. A URL that's specific to the search term or close to it will typically get more. Anybody have any other ideas? We'll touch on this one, and then we'll talk about the better one in just a moment. But any idea why this one is not at the top? Because it's quite specific.
Did they intentionally bid less to not be at the top?
Okay.
Because I've heard theories that being the top one isn't always the most cost-effective one. You want to be maybe the third one. Or.
Yeah, I would say, this is Kama speaking?
Yes.
I would say that there's some truth possibly in that, except that they haven't showed up one time in the top three. And I would think that if they were making an intentional placement based on price, they'd still try to be in the top three as opposed
right.
to down to fourth and fifth position, which are much, much weaker in terms of click-throughs.
Right.
I don't think the ad is as good as it should be, and I'll tell you why I don't think it is. I think that in almost any other market, if you specified a rate, I don't mean refinance, but in many other markets, the rate itself and the specifics would be working in your favor. But I think what they've done here is two or three things that are mistakes. First of all, no one here believes that these guys have a better rate than anyone else, and no one trusts mortgage companies that are trumpeting rates on the internet as the ultimate source to find the best mortgage. 3.95% means what? You know, is it an ARM? How do you qualify? No, I don't think that number has any force anymore by itself. First of all. Secondly, the ad has gotten so specific that, to Stephen's point, it may exclude those who are in a completely different market. And I'm going to tell you what I'm looking for when I click on a Google AdWord looking for mortgage information. I want the internet to present me with selection. I don't want to be told about one program. I want to be told that I can see all the programs, compare, and get the best. And the ad that consistently is pulling at the top, they're probably paying more also. But it notices some key things. It has mortgage refinance at the beginning, which is simply a restatement of the search term to make sure you're getting the message. It says compare lenders. It says get quotes, and it tells you the two things you want to know about those quotes, if it's free and it's fast. I don't like the apply now at all. I think it's pushy, and the ad would be better without it. But it starts to be a good ad. I think one of the ads it says low rates from one easy form. It's in third place now on my page. It's alternated between first and third position. I would bet you they're paying less than the ad that's at the top, but that they're appearing on the top sometimes because they're getting pretty high click-through rates. Because it's advertising low rates from one easy form, which implies selection. It implies a free calculator that shows your savings today, and all of those things are good hooks to get me to want to click on the site. My guess is this ad is paying a bit less than the ad in first position, but is getting a pretty high click-through rate. I would go a step further and say that all three of these in top position could be improved dramatically with just a few subtle changes. I would rather say select from 30. I'm writing this on the spot. Okay, so I'm not telling you it's the ultimate source, but I would say select from 36 lenders with one 45-second application, period. You know, something like that with one after I said that, I would have one additional benefit phrase depending on how many character allowances I could have. And what I would do is I would beat these guys by implying I've got more to select from and it's easier here. And that's what I'd want to imply with my ad. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to move on because we're running out of time. You've looked at those ads, and I want to talk about some other keys that we've discovered that will help you. I'll just summarize by saying this. Use negative keywords, clear ad titles to prevent as many unintentional clicks as possible. And then also use and know when to use broad phrases and when to use restrictive or selective phrases. And then I would suggest that, you know, to bear in mind the things that we've discussed regarding copy itself, and also get transparent marketing if you have not read it. Let me move on to a set of hard-hitting points. I mean, you know, just boom, 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 things with you that you want to keep in mind. In addition to the techniques outlined above, we've identified a number of good practices that can enhance the effectiveness of your AdWord campaigns. Number one, make sure the displayed URL in your listing is the shortest possible URL. Even if no one clicks your ad, you are receiving brand exposure. If your domain is meclabs.com, do not use www.meclabs.com/offer123.html as your display URL. Remember, in Google, your display URL does not have to be the actual URL you're using that they're clicking through to. You can use your short main URL, but when they click on it, it can be redirecting them to a specific URL. So make sure that you're using the short URL and that you're using every opportunity to brand as well as to draw clicks. We do believe it's best to use displayed URLs with the www in front of them, however, rather than just meclabs.com. The www lets customers know that what they're seeing is a web address. And Google, as I say, does allow you to use some capitalization in your displayed URL. Using a URL with capitalization to clarify the different words is always a good move. Number two, avoid using any hype in your ads. This is especially true for products whose target market may be inherently skeptical. Purge out the qualitative statements. Purge out any exclamation points, and run for your life from sales language that feels like there's a carnival hawker trying to get your attention. We're so used to seeing that. People are so used to seeing that we write our ads that way. We don't realize that they hurt our credibility and they hurt our click-through. Number three, create a sense of urgency with your ads. This can be done without resorting to hype. And this is a very good point. Phrases like limited supply, who believes that? Limited supply. Don't tell me limited supply. Tell me there's 16 left. Or don't say it at all. And if it's a lie, don't say it. And if there's urgency, then find the urgency in your product and utilize that. Don't make it up. But real urgency that's quantitative is powerful. For instance, you can specifically offer something through a certain date. Or you can, in this case, if this was a longer ad, you might have mentioned that, you know, there was a Fed review coming up this past week that it, rates may go up on February 14th, or, you know, literally on May, I think it was 3rd or 4th. That's a critical truth that might drive somebody into contacting you now, but don't make them up. Moving on. A top five, by the way, well, never mind. I predict rates are going to go up September 30th, but just shortly afterwards for what that's worth. Moving on, creating, let's go to four. A top five position is needed to be effective, and a top three is optimal. After the first few ads, the listings all start to look the same, and attracting a consumer's attention becomes extremely difficult. This is not to say that lower positions won't still drive some traffic. By the way, this is a critical thing. I've seen our team effectively make money by creating many search terms in lower positions and getting far less click-throughs but making money with the click-throughs that we got because we weren't overpaying for the top positions. And so, you know, don't overlook that. In fact, I'll go a step further. So many times we make money, more actual net money at the end of the month by reducing the advertising spend when we're doing research with a partner. By reducing the traffic, we can often make more money at the end of the month. It's surprising, but we found that when you really pour on the traffic, even smart traffic, even carefully thought out traffic, for some reason, when it reaches a certain level, conversion still goes down.
I had a quick question. When you count the position, are you counting the two at the top as included or just the ones down the side?
Just the ones down the sides.
In other words, there's
yes.
some question about whether people look at those two top that may show, the ads that may show at the top as the same sorts of advertising as the ones down the right. Some people think people kind of scan those more as links or kind of they aren't necessarily as attractive as the ones on the side. I don't know if you've done any experiments on that.
Yes, I have not. I've done experiments with placement on a page like that, and but not on Google. What I have found is that often those top ads get overlooked, especially if they look like ads. People's eyes will swoop right over them down to the listing. However, I have not done any testing in Google on that, and it might be a good test, Aaron. We might keep it in mind for test design. So
when you're counting, you're just counting the ads down the side.
Yes, I am. That's correct.
Okay.
Number five, while many merchants try to shoot for number one ad placement, this is sometimes ill-advised. Potential customers will often compare the first few links anyway. Are they getting the best deal? Do competitors have better products? If first place can be purchased for only slightly more than second or third, we do not advise against it. However, the cost gaps between first, second, and third position are usually very large, and you're better off to go for the second or third position. Two is comfortable because if third slips, you're still in there. I'm on to 6.6. When researching the cost of moving up in position, don't overlook the potential savings of moving down slightly in position. You will often find that you can move from, for example, fourth to third for only a few cents. But you may be able to drop from fourth to fifth and benefit from significant savings. Always study the cost gap. Number seven, if a desired keyword is too expensive, try to break that keyword down and go after words that are more specific, or a phrase. Break the phrase down and go after words that are more specific. Identify words that may not receive as much traffic, but can be purchased for less money. And number eight, finally review, we would suggest, and I've mentioned this, and the link should be on your report, and it will be in this briefing that we release. But we would suggest that you review the very detailed blueprint that we've written for everything from sample ads and all to do to set up your Google AdWords campaign. And don't just get the report, because there's a long report. It may be 20 pages long, and you think that's the blueprint because it has many steps. But our research report kind of lays out criterion, but the blueprint, which is a link at the top of the research report, actually lays out a form, step by step by step, you know, building your campaign and refining it. So having said all of that, I would suggest that any of you that have other thoughts or ideas that you think would make this, what we've talked about today, more effective, please email us. We spent an hour today on the phone with our, you know, we're testing our forums that we're going to be really promoting soon, but not just yet, thinking it through. And, you know, very soon we'll be able to let you just move right into the forums during these conferences right at the end and add thoughts and comments and suggestions, and we really want to hear from you. But in the meantime, feel free to email us. Maybe there's something that should be in this report that we've not covered or in this briefing that we've not covered that you think would be more effective. Have you found this helpful today?
Yeah, can I just add something to this?
Sure.
My name is Peter. I'm from a company called Ascend.
Okay.
We've been doing a campaign for Latin America, and it's basically for the Forex industry. And what we did is we put our ads in Spanish, and in Latin America there's all these companies here in the States that are advertising in English. And what we've noticed is that our ads are our relevancy has improved dramatically, while our cost per click has remained the same. And the reason that I think it's the case is because the language in which we put the ads in is in Spanish, and people in Latin America who speak Spanish prefer to look at our ads more than the English ads. So that's just something that I thought I'd tell everybody in this meeting. So.
Yes, and don't overlook Google's opportunities in other countries, depending on what your product offering is. I mean, we're right now experimenting in a number of countries throughout Europe, and it's quite surprising what we're learning. That's a very good point.
I'd like to
go ahead.
Add one more thing.
Sure.
We were
sure.
doing a recent campaign, and I was talking to Google extensively because I wasn't getting the sorts of impressions that I thought we should get, and they brought up two points that I had questions about. First is they said that relevance click-through rate is given a lot more or given more weight in the calculation than the amount of money bid. And I don't know if that's been your experience or not, but that's what Google was telling me. And secondly, they were, of course, wanting me to bid more, but this gets into that whole thing of those, if there are two at the top, and they really aren't kind of factored into people when they're looking at it, those do count for, you know, going into the search network, but they may not count in terms of when the users look at the page, where they're going to be clicking on. So there's a push and pull. You're wanting to bid higher to get into the search network, you know, be shown in that as well. But if you also are bidding higher, you may move into those top two places that don't get the sort of recognition that the ads down the side do. So there's a push and pull there. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not.
Well, I don't. To your first point, your ad's relevancy does have a great deal to do with your positioning, and it's I'm glad for that because it gives you competitive advantage. Small
mm-hmm.
guys can sometimes, you know, outmaneuver the big guys by thinking and writing good ads. To your second point, I'm not sure the answer to that. I'd like to do some research on it because I think it's a smart question, and I don't want to pretend to have answers to the issues I don't, but I think I'd like to find out. So we'll look into it. We'll look
Thank
into
you.
It. If you email us and we find something interesting, we'll email you back.
Okay.
All right, guys. I'm going to
another question?
Go ahead.
This is Komra.
Okay.
I'm working on a campaign for a client, and they sell French antiques. And I'm running ads. I have designed a very special landing page just for the ad, and I'm running ads that are very much like a classified ad in that there's just details about the items, there's a price of the item, and the keywords are very specific and they're in the title. Do you know of any feedback about running ads for a purchase of a specific item in Google?
Yes. I would suggest that depending on what your goal is, sometimes it's very effective to advertise a specific item.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it reduces your click-throughs, but it increases your conversion. And the only way to know it is to run it and to see if, first of all, to get a baseline metric and see what your conversion is when you run the specific. And then if you feel like you want to expand the search a little bit in order to get more traffic, it may be good because you may find you can only get 5 clicks a week or 10 or a day or whatever the case is. On the other hand, one of the things we do to help somebody whose Google campaign is costing more money than it should is we get more specific
mm-hmm.
with the ads and the items. And we find that works very good. It's particularly good if you have, like, a store with 800 items. Sometimes we'll have all 800 items in there.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I'm wanting to eventually kick it off to that size maybe with this client, but we're just trying it, like, with one or two items to begin
yeah.
with just to see if we can convert and get that done within a reasonable budget.
We have done it with as many as I want to say 100,000 items,
mm-hmm.
maybe more.
Wow.
For just one partner.
Yeah.
So it can be done that way.
Okay.
Your shopping engines are going to give you a higher conversion though than Google.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as your Google's paying, then go for it. But you'll do better with your shopping groups. And we can talk to you more about that.
Okay.
All right.
How do you manage it? I mean, the question I have, because I have to ask, is do you use specific software for keyword management? And how many, you're saying having keywords in a headline is important, so should I have a different ad for every keyword?
We do a lot of things manual because we want to do it right. On the other hand, with this comparison engines, you can use feeds. And we're doing a whole issue coming up on how to create feeds so that you can get multiple engines at the same time. We've done a lot of research and a lot of work there, and we'll be talking about that. But the other thing that's important to management, I think Aaron will tell you, is because we look at a lot of campaigns that we don't set up, that somebody else has set up, and we've got to figure out how to reorganize them so we can conduct our research and use Google effectively. And I'll just tell you, a lot of it, too, is how you set it up. You need to set up your campaigns very smart. And the other thing is, some people are trying to do all this themselves, and they shouldn't be. They really shouldn't. Because you need to do what you're best at. And it's one thing when you're a small retailer and you have to do everything yourself, but really, there's only a few people out there that truly know how to maximize these engines. And those are the kinds of people you ought to have working for you. And when you do, it saves you more money than it costs you, or that you lose an opportunity cost when you're being a good merchant doing what you do well. I know that we're trying to train, and so that's what we're here to help you. But even with our research partners, we try to train people on their staff to understand better and better and better what we're doing as part of our research. And if you need help with your stuff, email us. You know, if we can't help you, if we had a research partnership opening, which I don't know if we would or we wouldn't, we'd let you know. But even if we don't, we might recommend somebody that could help you, because we certainly know a lot of people that are, you know, in the business. And 30% of our subscribers are consultants, by the way. Go ahead now.
When you're outbid of your placement, do you get some kind of email notification, or it's just something you have to daily watch?
We watch it carefully. Aaron, how would you respond to that?
Does Google have some kind of set response that you'll be notified so you can go back and bid higher so that you'll keep your placement?
Did we lose you, Aaron?
No, I'm still here. I didn't realize I had the mute on.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and answer that question.
Yeah, to answer your question, you're not going to be notified by Google. There has been management software in which there's different notifications that are capable. I don't know if email is one of them, but certain companies like GoToast or Keyword Max offer bid management software, and it's basically a place to centrally locate all your bids for your different engines and work off one format.
Okay, you said GoToast, and I'm sorry.
GoToast and Keyword Max. Now they are a bit pricey. I think both of them, depending upon the size of your campaign, can cost you a bit.
We're testing all those. We use Keyword Max for some of our work, and we're in the process of constructing something proprietary that we think will be most effective.
Okay.
It's hard, but we'll keep you posted too through more research and things of that nature. All right, guys, I'm going to break this conference off. I thank you so much for your attention, and we'll keep trying hard to get you the information you need, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you. By the way, this is all recorded. You'll be able to get the recording, and also the will be sent to you shortly.